So today our title is Never Be in Despair. Right? And despair is a very, very strong word. It is not just another word for sad. It's not just another word for troubled. You can be sad, you can be troubled, but you might not necessarily be in despair. Right? And sometimes we sing of hymns right, in the hymn book and we will come across this word despair. Now this word despair literally means without hope, no hope. Right? And it's sometimes linked to the word desperate. Right? You do something very, very desperate. When there's no more hope, then you just do something very terrible. Right? So that's the idea of the word despair. So this idea of despair and desperation, it describes this chapter very well. Right? Because David is facing a very difficult, a very tough situation. Right? And he was struggling very, very in a very difficult way. Right? He would feel this way, to be in despair. Now, of course, as we have read through this chapter, you realize also, David did not do something that was good at all. Right? So we have a negative example to learn from. Right? And if David, a man after God's own heart, was fallible, right, if he still had to learn to trust in the Lord, likewise, we also, if we are to learn from this chapter, we can learn also how we should not fall into despair, just as David has done. And as we have read from this book, 1 Samuel, now this book, very briefly, right, it will tell us about a time that is after the period of Judges. In the time of the Judges that was before the time of 1 Samuel, right, it was one of the worst periods in Israel's history. Then after that, the Lord called and raised up the prophet Samuel. So during Samuel's ministry, right, the nation did better. There was some form of reform and revival as the word of God was brought to the people. And then we have our first king, that is King Saul. He started well, but along the way, he did not do very well. He disobeyed against God. He did not repent. Right? And so the Lord rejected him. And so in this time, the Lord raised up another person, the next king. There will be David, right, our corrector in this chapter. And so during this time, as Saul learned about David, Saul became jealous and envious. And there was strife between Saul and David, and Saul would want to kill David. That's why when you read through the book of 1 Samuel, the majority of the time you'll find that David was a fugitive. He was running for his life away from Saul, who used his armies to pursue after David to kill him. Right? And in this book, you'll find that there are many precious lessons for us. There are times when David really learned how to be faithful, to trust in the Lord. The Lord delivered him. But there are times also when David was put in a very difficult situation, right? And he also suffered failure, right? As we would learn from this chapter today. Now, you also realize that as we read through this chapter, we are introduced to this character called Achish, right? The king of Gath. That is where David ran to seek for refuge. Now, do you know that this is not the first time that David encountered Achish? Now, very briefly, we need to turn a bit to chapter 21, all right, 1 Samuel chapter 21, to give us a little bit of background, all right, to see what has happened before. Now, David's first encounter here with this king Achish, right, of Gath, will be a time when David was running away as a fugitive, right? So in 1 Samuel chapter 21, now you realize that in the first part of this chapter, we don't have time to read through it, but David was running, no provisions, nothing much with him. So he had to find food and he was there at the tabernacle. He took some food from there. And then you realize in verse 9, right? So when he was talking to the priest, he also took the sword of Goliath. Remember, David killed Goliath and then somehow the sword was kept there in the tabernacle. So he took the sword, right? It is wrapped up in the cloth behind the ephod, right? If thou would take it. For there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. And so armed with this sword. Now, where did David run to? Verse 10. This is David's first encounter with Achish. So David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. Very afraid, running. Right? And he went to Achish, the king of Gath. And do you know who else was from Gath? Goliath. Goliath was also from Gath. And here he was, carrying the big sword of Goliath. And there is none other sword like this, right? In those days, swords were not very common. They were expensive, very hard to make. They'll only be carried about by kings, generals, and some great fighters like Goliath. He was carrying this sword of Goliath into his own territory. Right, so he was running to Achish, the king of Gath. And then you'll find very quickly in verse 11, they recognize him. They knew exactly who he was. This is David, the one who fought against us. Right, and David was so afraid in verse 12. Right, and David laid up these words in his heart and was so afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. One moment, so afraid of Saul running away from him. And as he ran to Achish, the king of Gath, he also was very frightened by them. He panicked. What did he do? Very sadly in this time, right, in verse 13, he pretended to be like a madman. Right? He really, really acted in a very terrible way. Right? He was foaming at his mouth, scrambling about at the doors, and he just pretended to go mad. And somehow, by the mercies of God, they could have killed him in revenge, but they didn't. Right? Achish just released him. Right? Thought he was a madman and just let him go. Right? If he's already this mad, what can he do to us? Let him just go and be ashamed, right, amongst his own people. So by God's mercy, somehow David survived this incident in panic. And so in between, right, chapters 21 to chapter 27, you find that a number of things happen. Saul continued to pursue after David, cat and mouse. Everywhere that David went, Saul would just pursue after him. And take note, during this time or so, twice, once in a cave, once when David went on this commando raid into the middle of Saul's camp, twice, David was given this opportunity to be there with Saul. And David could have solved all his problems by just taking out the sword and just killing Saul, right? No King Saul, no problem. And wow, this is God's opportunity for me, just to kill him. But David did not. He passed the test twice with flying colors. He understood very, very well that God is sovereign, right? And King Saul was also God's anointed, right? If God did not command him to kill King Saul, he could not. And God will remove King Saul in his own time. That we will find at the end of the book of 1 Samuel, right? When God will take his life in battle. Right? So David seemed to do very well in these few chapters before chapter 27. Right? That's what we see in chapter 26. So in this encounter with Saul again, David was spared. Right, and so they parted ways. But however, at the moment we come to chapter 27, you find a very strange change. One moment David was so courageous, so faithful, very righteous. He did things very rightly. But the next moment, he failed the test. That's what we will see today. And this is a good warning for you and for me. Do not think that, oh, because I am very faithful, I am in the Lord today. I've been walking close to the Lord for 10 years. I will surely not fall tomorrow. Do not think like this. Right? Do not be proud like this. Because if David, a man after God's own heart, if he could fail in this way, likewise, you and I, if we are not careful, right, one day we might be courageous, strong and faithful in the Lord. The next day, we can very easily fail to trust in the Lord. Now, first of all, when we look at the text from verse 1 to verse 4, now we want to understand, what does it mean to be in despair? Right? Earlier, we talked about how despair is a very strong word. It means no hope. And we will focus a lot on verse 1 especially. Right? This is one of the key verses in this chapter. And from what David says in verse 1, it will really show to us what it means to fall into despair. Now, in verse 1, first of all, and David said in his heart. Mind you, he was not sharing this thoughts with anyone, but it began in his heart, inside him. So we realize, first of all, that despair actually starts from within the heart. It's not so much about the situation, because what changed? Nothing changed. David was still a fugitive. King Saul was still there with his armies, right? So there was no sudden change. It's not like suddenly David was being ambushed or something, but just one day, as David was there, as his sinful heart worked within him, he just somehow did not trust in the Lord. And so this is where despair begins with, right? Within our own heart. Right? And sometimes you and I very well know that while we are on this earth, in this sinful human body, easily we fall prey to worries and fears. Right? All those things that run within our mind, some of these things that sometimes keep us awake at night, that gives us no appetite at times, that draws us sometimes into sadness. Right? So David was likewise a man like you and I. He was also haunted by some of these thoughts, struggled with them. Right, but here, you realize that he fell very quickly into despair. And it just started from within his own heart. Right? Nobody went to provoke him. Nobody seemed to have said anything terrible to him. Right? But it just started from within himself. Right? And what else did he say? The first thing he said is this: I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. And he just declared this of himself. Right? Nothing from God at all. But this was his own declaration. I shall now perish. That means right now, I am as good as dead. And this word perish is also a very strong word. It means to be consumed. It has the idea of dust that's being swept away by the wind, just like that. Right? So that's what perish means. And this is to describe how David felt. David felt very small, very insignificant, like dust. And look at Saul and his armies. If they were to just come and sweep and attack, that's it. I'll just be gone. And so he just realized to himself, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Right? And he even declared for himself, one day. When? God never told him that, oh, David, a few months later, you'll be killed by Saul. No such thing. But he just decided in his own mind that one day I will just surely die. I don't know when, but just one day I will die. And at this point of time, how many times has God saved him? How many times was he able to escape from Saul? So many times, right? And here, at this point of time, he just feels, one day I will not be able to escape anymore. One day I will just be too tired. One day I will make a mistake. And one day I will just die. And I will just perish. And take note, by the hand of Saul. At this point of time, he has completely forgotten that it is not Saul who controls life and death. He understands the sovereignty of God. If you look through the many chapters before in 1 Samuel, you realize that so many times David could trust in the Lord. But in this point of time, in great discouragement, in despair, David forgot about this fact. Right? And he feels that Saul is powerful. Right? Saul himself was also a mighty warrior, and he will just die one day by the hand of Saul. So this was the thought that was in his mind. Right? And he again forgot about the time when he was anointed as the next king. Why would God anoint David to be a next king? And then before David can become a king, God will kill him. Right? God will allow him to die. It makes no sense. But at a point of time, when he was filled with all those fears and worries and doubts within himself, right, that is how David was, struggling. Right? And he would just completely forget about all these things. And you and I must realize this. If we are not careful in our hearts, if we are not even careful with our thoughts, our own emotions within us, if we do not trust in the Lord, if we do not read God's word, pray every day, and not just pray in the morning and, oh, that's it. But every point of time, right, when we are fearful, when we are doubting, we quickly cry to the Lord. If we do not do all these things, we can just become like David. In a moment, all of God's goodness done for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, can quickly be put out of our mind. And we can quickly fall into the same state as David is. Can just declare, oh, that's it, you know. There's no one to help me. Like, why am I so alone? No one seems to care. Right? And then, oh, that's it for my family. We can't survive. We can't go on anymore. It's just all gone. No hope. Useless. What can I do? Sometimes do we feel this way? When we are drawn to despair, that is how we might feel, just as David felt. Our minds will be so far removed from God. Where was God's presence? Do you think God has left David? I do not think so. Of course, God was still protecting David. God was there. Right? But David, at this point of time, right, because of his sinful heart, he disregarded God. Right? And David could have prayed. If you read through the book of Psalms, right, David is sometimes described as the sweet psalmist. Because you read through the Psalms, many of them are his prayers. In moments of fear, he cried out to the Lord. Right, how he cried out, I waited patiently unto the Lord. But David was able to do so. It's not that he could not. But at this one point of time, right, somehow, he allowed himself to fall into despair, disregarded God. And if you read through this verse, I hope that you also realize that he focuses a lot on himself, right? David says, I shall now perish one day. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines and Saul shall despair of me, to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. The focus was entirely on himself, not on God at all. And one thing that is very sad about this chapter, this episode in David's life, is that God is not in the picture. Not that God is gone, alright? Of course, God is sovereign. God is there watching over all things. But at this point of time, David did not mention the Lord at all. He could have prayed at any point of time, but there is no record to show that he did. Where was his mind and his heart so far removed from God? Right, that is a very, very sad thing to observe. So likewise for us also, right, that's why moment by moment, we really must trust in the Lord. Right, it's not just one day I'm okay, I'm walking well in the Lord. Here we are, right, on Sunday for the Lord's Day service, and we feel close to the Lord, right, as we worship Him, as we come before His presence in prayer and the singing of hymns, the reading of His Word. Tomorrow's a public holiday, but on Tuesday, right, when we go back to face work, studies, the office, to face all the things that we have to deal with in life, how we feel. Do we feel very far from God sometimes? Does it mean that God has drawn very, very far away from us? I do not think so. But it is because of our sinful heart. Right? If we do not let our lives be controlled by the Holy Spirit, if we do not walk close to the Lord, we can easily fall into despair. We are supposed to have the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, where when we know when Jesus rose from the grave, right, it is to show you and I that even the grave cannot hold us. There is hope beyond this life. Isn't it wonderful when we think of the thoughts of heaven? Right, the streets of gold, eternal bliss and joy with the Lord Jesus Christ. No more sorrow, no more tears. Don't we look forward to that day when we are with the Lord? What happened to this hope? Sometimes it can be quite far from us when we are so focused on ourselves. And sometimes when we are in this kind of a state, it's as good as telling God, oh God, you can't do anything for me, you know. This situation is too hard, too difficult. No solution. I pray, and you know, nobody cares and nothing seems to work. Right? And we are just telling God, it's all over. Die. Finished. Right? And it's like we say, habis. Mati, just gone. I can only just stand here and just die. That's it. No more hope. Right, so this is a very, very sad state that David has fallen into. Right, but let us take note. Right, the moment we start looking at ourselves and we start declaring all these kind of things, right, we better really watch ourselves and quickly learn to cry to the Lord. Quickly sing a hymn. Quickly read a psalm. Right, encourage ourselves in Him. Even sometimes when no one knows of our struggles. Right, remember David said in his heart, I'm not going to know what is inside your heart sometimes. Right, sometimes we are very good at hiding what is going on inside. Right, and sometimes nobody will know. And it will seem like nobody understands. It will seem like nobody cares. But the Lord knows. The Lord cares. Right, and we must not forget about this fact. We have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, with us, indwelling inside us. We must not forget all these things. So at this point of time, David was so discouraged that all these things seemed so far away. Right, and what did he say next? Well, he said, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. And as he says, there is nothing better. Nothing better. No solution. Nothing better for me than that. Now, he formed his own plan. That's the dangerous thing. I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Remember just now, we read in chapter 21, in that great moment of panic when he ran there. However, down here, this is the second time. And he should have learned from the first time. God was very merciful to him to preserve him when he acted out like a madman. But this time again, he was very deliberate. You know, in the scripture sometimes, when you keep looking at this word and, right, A-N-D, you realize that many of the verses in this chapter begin with and David arose, and David dwelt. It is to show that David was very deliberate, very decisive. That means he wasn't just panicking and freaking out and then just doing whatever he wants. He was not like that. He was actually considering, what should I do next? It was very deliberate, right, that he wanted to go there. So despair will lead us to self-will, not to follow God's will, but we will trust in our own will. We will form our own solutions. Since God doesn't seem to be helping me, I'm going to find my own way. I will make my own solution. And here David made his own solution. God never ever directed him over there. But God allowed him to do so. God allowed him to make this mistake so that you and I can learn. So he wanted to escape again, all right, to the land of the Philistines. And by the way, these Philistines, they are the enemies of Israel. They are the heathen, the idol worshippers that Israel fought with so many times. They are people who were constantly a thorn in Israel's side. Right? And Israel was supposed to fight and conquer and defeat them, but somehow they did not. Right? So it's very shameful, right, for David to run into enemies. Now, he was trusting on human wisdom. Have you heard of this saying? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Right? So maybe in worldly tactics, very smart. Maybe if I run to the enemy of my enemy, Philistia, right? They are the enemies of Israel. If I run to them, maybe they'll take me in. Right? As a hired mercenary or soldier, I can help them. Right? And then they will think that, oh, this man David and his mighty men, no, they have turned against Saul. Right? And they can ally together and somehow they can protect each other. I help you, you help me. Human wisdom. But this was self-will. Right? He did not follow God's will in this way. So he tried, okay, in his own human wisdom, in his own human power, to deal with this situation. Right? And, well, he even had the end point. It says, and Saul shall despair of me. That means he wants to make Saul give up. So tired of running from Saul. Nothing seems to, you know, persuade Saul to stop. David has already spared Saul twice. And Saul said nice things. Oh, David, okay, I'll leave you alone. You know, you are like my son and all that. But David knows Saul will not give up. He will come after him again. Right? And so he was so discouraged. He just wanted Saul once and for all to just give up. I don't want to run anymore. Hiding from cave to cave, right? Always running, always fearing for his life and not just his own. Later on, as you read further down, he had his wives, his families with him. He had his 600 men and their families with him. He was responsible for all of them also. Worried for them too, not just himself. So as he thought of all these things, just wanted to give up. I don't want to run anymore. So I'll just go over there, right, to the land of the Philistines and then settle there. Maybe Saul will just give up. Right, and he will stop seeking me anymore in any coast of Israel. No matter where he ran in Israel, somehow he will be found out. Best solution? Run to Philistia. Run out of the country, cross the border. And if Saul wanted to get him, Saul will have to cross the border into Philistia. Saul will have to risk fighting with the Philistines just to get David. Right, he wants to make it very, very hard for Saul to get him. Now, by all human wisdom, by human strategy and tactics, this would seem very smart in human sight, but not in God's sight, not in this way. Right, so this is what David was thinking through. So verse 1 really, really reveals to us, right, how David was struggling at this point of time, what he was thinking, where his heart was. And in verse 2, David arose, right, very deliberate, and David arose, and he passed over, crossed the border with the 600 men with him, unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath, right, the same king as before. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, stayed there, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, right, Ahinoam, Abigail. And verse 4, now what was the outcome of this? And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. So wow, seems like David's plan actually worked. Right? So we should say, oh, praise the Lord, you see, David is so smart. Right? He actually went down there, hid down there, and then Saul really, really stopped chasing after him. Right? He sought no more again for him. Just stop looking for David anymore. Well, verse 4 again will seem very wise by human standards. David so-called solved the problem, right? Who needs God, isn't it, when you have a smart leader like David? But that's not the point. When we look at this passage with spiritual sight, we realize that David did not turn to the Lord for help at all, just turned to himself in despair. And it's a very, very dangerous way of living when the ends justify the means. As long as I am safe, as long as me and my men and my families are safe, I will just do anything. Right? And he will not care. As long as the ends justifies the means. This is a kind of pragmatism that the world looks after. I will do whatever it is to get the job done. As long as it works, as long as I get results, I don't care. I'm just going to do it. Right? And even Christians, if we are not careful, we will do things the exact same way. Ah, never mind, no, I just pray, and then just because I invoke God's name, I pray a little bit, I will still go and do things my way. right? Thinking that as I do this, since I've already prayed, God will bless me and He will help me. And then we just want God to rubber stamp, right? Whatever, and just give a chop on whatever we want to do. That is how sometimes we think in moments of despair. When we become very, very desperate, we can act like David does. And sometimes you will even have results. That's the saddest part. You want that promotion? Sure, you know how to get it. Right? You know exactly what you need to do to get that promotion. But is it the right way? Is that God's will for you? Is it God leading you down that path? What do you have to sacrifice along the way? Do you have to backstab some people? Right? Do you have to lie in certain things, cover up certain things to get that promotion? And the end of the day, you can still get it. God can still allow you to get that promotion. But is it really, really worth it to do all these things? If we have the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have God in our minds, would we want to act this way? Right? But here we find that David, he fell very much to this. In our lives, sometimes also, it's not just one situation. It's a combination of factors, right? Just like David, same thing. Yeah, pressure from inside, from outside. We worry about work, we worry about children, worry about the family, worry about the economy, the situation, worry about parents, about health. So many things. And sometimes it comes as a combination with so many things happening and nothing seems to get solved. It just seems to add up and pile up. And then that's when it's easy sometimes to fall into despair. Then we just think, Lord, I just keep praying and praying. How come? The problems are still there. Nothing seems to be solved. Maybe I need to do something by myself, find my own way to solve it. We might not say it out, but in our heart. Right? And then whatever is inside our hearts will somehow translate into action. And that is exactly what David did. So it starts from within the heart. Don't blame it on the situation, right? Because David is still a fugitive and he will continue to be until Saul dies. Likewise, you and I also, don't blame the situation, right? And especially during this time, we know it's a tough situation that we're all found in. So don't blame the situation. How the Christian responds to the situation is the key. How David responds to the situation will be measured by the Lord. Right? So it starts from within ourselves, within our hearts. We have to be very careful. And if we allow sin, the carnal self, to take over, we disregard what God says, right? We leave God aside, right? We ignore God's word, we ignore the convicting and leading of the Holy Spirit, we will just end up with self-will, not God's will. And along the way, we will do more damage than good in the long run. Because you find that his stay in Ziklag was not pleasant at all. Right? We do not have time to cover, but in the following chapters, God will have to chastise David and make him learn it in a very hard and very terrible way. Make it so much so that even the men around him wanted to kill him. Right? Because while they were away, right, people came and raided the camp, took his families away, took their possessions away. But somehow, by the mercies and grace of God, they were able to recover, right, them intact. God had to teach him in a very tough way in the future. But for now, this is just the beginning of the problems. Doesn't solve anything. Right, so this is what happens when we get desperate, we sin. Right, so think very, very carefully whenever we are found in a desperate situation. When we are found in a tough situation, well, only two causes, right? The first one is either because we have sinned against the Lord, so the Lord is using this situation to chastise us. Or if not, okay, let's say we have walked close to the Lord, we have done things right, we are serving Him, living for Him, then maybe it is a trial. God is testing us, right, to increase and strengthen our faith, to help us to learn certain things. So we must see it as a trial. So whatever the case is, even if it's a chastisement or if it's a trial, how we respond to the situation is very important. Remember when the children of Israel was being chased by Pharaoh and his armies. They were stuck before the Red Sea. No solution, no way, right? And then what are people doing? All complaining against Moses. Better that we should have just died, right? You lead us here to make our graves here? Is it because there are no graves in Egypt, so you want us to die all the way outside here? We see all these kind of things in despair, no hope. So the Lord had to teach them. Right? And you think about the disciples also, right? Remember when they were with Jesus in the ship and then there was a huge storm? They were so afraid and frightened. Right? And so as they woke up Jesus, don't you care about us? Why are you sleeping when the storm is breaking out? Don't you think that we'll die? And Jesus had to rebuke them. Oh, ye of little faith. Don't you trust in the Lord? Right? So it's not the situation that is the issue. The situation is there. Right, and sometimes this situation will feel very desperate, no solution. But that is fine. Sometimes it is alright to be in a situation when there's no solution, right? All we have to do is, at that point, just trust in the Lord, just patiently wait upon Him, and then just press on. Just make sure we do things right. Right, so, well, David in this case, he did not react very well this way. Sometimes in life or so, we are faced with especially difficult situations. Sometimes when we're faced with serious illness, right? It feels like, you know, nothing can help anywhere. Sometimes we find that people run even to the temple. They'll run for all kinds of alternative medicines or any other thing that would somehow help them. They will turn to it instead of the Lord. Not saying it's wrong to go to the doctors, of course, please do, right? But in desperation, right, there are some who even turn back to their old religions, turn to temples and all kinds of funny things just to be healed, right? And sometimes in financial situations, right, and people get desperate. What is the best way to earn a quick buck, right? Gamble, play with stocks and shares. Just not enough, I need more. Fastest way to get it, stocks and shares, right? Or gamble, or the loan shark or something. In desperation, people act out all these things. And some would seek to escape, right? And that's why some turn to drinking and to drugs. These are things that sinful men do, and things that we might fall into if we are not careful. Please don't think that I will never fall into this. I will never fall into despair. We pray hard, of course, that we will never. But we must guard ourselves. Be very careful. Because when a test comes, just like David, can easily stumble and fall very, very quickly into despair. All right, so he has really started going downhill. Things seem to sort of work out for him, but actually not in God's sight. And what we'll find in the next part of this passage in verse 5 to verse 7 is this, is that despair will next lead to compromise. Things do not get better. David might so-called be physically safe in the land of the Philistines, but his spiritual life, the things that he did, they were not right at all. Right, so verse 5 to verse 7. Now, one thing that you can observe is how David talked to Achish. And it's very sad that David would talk like this to a king, an idol worshipper. And David said unto Achish, right, verse 5, if I have now found grace in thine eyes. What a thing to say to another person. Say, if I have found favor in your sight. He's essentially saying, please grant me a favor, okay? Please do me as a favor. Grant to me your grace. Instead of seeking God's grace, he was seeking grace, favor from a man. Right, and let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should, take note, thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Isn't it so sad that he could say this to Achish, thy servant? And what he was saying is this, I am your servant. That means I am willing to do anything you want me to do. Right? Because that's what servants do. What the master commands, you do. And that's what David is saying to Achish. I am now your servant. Grant me your favor, all right? So whatever you ask me to do, I will do. What happened to being a servant of the Lord? Right, so this is how far down David has gone. Again, this is not just, you know, for us to read and then condemn David. Oh, David is so bad. You and I can do the same thing. In moments of panic and desperation, we run everywhere. We seek everybody's favor. But we forget to seek God's favor first. Right, and then the things that we say, oh, you know, just help me, all right? I'll do anything for you, okay? Just help me. Are these words that we have said sometime, right, to somebody? I hope not. Right, so David has gone this way. Now think about other examples in the Bible. For example, the book of Ruth. If you read about Ruth, right? She was a widower, lost everything. Right? And you know, even in such a state when there was basically nothing left, yet she still was able to follow the Lord. Right? Ruth the Moabitess, and she was not even an Israelite. This happened in the day of the Judges. Right, and so faithfully she followed the Lord, and the Lord blessed her later on as she faithfully followed. Right, and same thing for Paul. Paul many a time suffered persecution, trials, difficulties, yet still he was able to remain faithful. David himself also at some times, when he was faced with a tough situation, he was able to trust in the Lord. But yet in this particular case, he seemed to have fallen very, very far from such a state. And all the more so this city, Ziklag, was supposed to be part of Israel. And it's so shameful that he's now asking from Achish, please give me a place to stay. I can't even stay in the royal city here with you. In verse 6, then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. Later on, Judah reconquered Ziklag. But it's so sad that you have to go and ask this king for a place to stay in. Right? And this city, Ziklag, was actually part of God's inheritance. Right? For the nation of Israel. They should have taken this city already, but they did not. And now you ask of this from a king who is an idol worshipper. Verse 7, and the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. It's not just a one-day incident, but the time that he spent over there. This 1 year and 4 months, do you think this was a good time for David? Of course not. Right? This was a time where he did not walk close to the Lord at all. And, you know, this is a very, very important lesson for you and I to learn. Right? In desperation, in despair, sometimes it can lead to compromise if we are not careful. It's a downward spiral. Don't trust in the Lord, trust in ourselves. And then we trust in ourselves, we will start to compromise. That means I'm going to start dealing on my terms. I'm not going to follow God's terms anymore because it doesn't seem to work for me. Right? So now I'm going to go by my own standards. And so by my own standards, I'm going to make decisions and I'm going to act on it. Right? And sometimes these decisions are not small. Right? For example, taking a job. Right? Do you think God will lead you? Since you can't find a job, then if someone offers you a job, for example, to work at a bar out of desperation, will you work at a bar or a casino? You might say, no, right? Of course not. I'll never work there. But in a time of desperation, do you think that that temptation will come? Will we fall to it? Right, so you think God will bless us if we work in a place associated with sin? Right, some are seeking life partners. And same thing. Right, as the years pass, desperation can set in. And do you think God will lead you to marry an unbeliever? Do you think God will lead you to marry someone who's not equally yoked? Right, do you think God will lead you into such a kind of marriage and union that is full of terrible things to happen? Right, do you think God will lead us in such a way? And these are not light decisions. Because once we make the contract, once the decision is made, once you know two persons are married, that's it. And sometimes the consequences will be there to stay for life. Right, so you and I must be very, very wary. Right, these are not light things that we are talking about. Right, and there's a life and death things that we deal with. And so you and I, we have to be very, very careful about this. Right, at the end of the day, think about this. We are supposed to lead a life. What's our chief end? For God's glory, right? And to enjoy Him forever. How can we glorify God when we don't follow His way? When we fail to pray? When we fail to seek His will? We can't glorify Him anymore. And then how can we enjoy Him? How can we enjoy God's blessings if we don't follow His way? Why should God bless us if we go our own way? It cannot go on. And it will just be this downward spiral. You might still be alive. You might still have a job and family. But you continue down this way, not following God's will. If we do this, how are we any different from an unbeliever? All the same, right? And things can look good on the surface. We thank God for Singapore that things are still relatively safe, peaceful. Right, there's still jobs to be found, people can somehow get by, even though it's tough. Right, things can look fine on the surface, but when we look at it in spiritual perspective, in light of God's will and following God's way, is this the way that we should go? What is the kind of testimony? Right, it's not about just getting what I want or making the ends. Right, it's how we deal with the situation. It's the process itself. Have we prayed along the way? Have we really acted according to God's will? We cannot just say, oh, because I prayed and then that's it. Are we even sure that we have prayed according to God's will? It's easy to say, I prayed already, right? We give thanks for the food, we also just pray, very simply. But as we pray, have we really prayed according to God's will? Or according to what we want? They're two very different things. It's not just the act of prayer. It's what we pray for, how we pray. And then after that, do we follow according to what God reveals as we pray? Because every Christian, right, if we are to pray according to God's will, God will surely answer, right? So think about it very, very carefully. So in this kind of a desperate situation, you know, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ with us, right, we should not fall to such a state to make decisions and compromises like what David did. I mean, so many examples in the Bible for us. Remember Daniel and his friends, and know, how they suffered through a time of persecution. They kept faithful to the Lord. The Lord delivered them. Right, and you think of our highest example, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Was he in a desperate situation? Plenty of times. So many times he went into places where people were just waiting to kill him. Likewise for Paul, people were hunting him down from city to city. And yet in all the situations, they learned. Right, Paul learned to follow the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Right, he was tempted personally by Satan himself. Yet he did not sin at all. That is our example to follow. Right, we will face trials and temptations. That is part and parcel of the Christian life. It's not a sin to face temptation. Right? I'm not saying you're going to invite temptation. But when temptation comes, now that's not a sin. How we respond and react to it, that is the test. Right, so let us make sure that we walk close to the Lord, right, and we do not sin in this way. We do not fall into compromise. And then lastly, as we go on to verse 8 to verse 12, we'll find that at the end of the day, this is where we'll find that despair will destroy testimony. Right, and so David and his men, what did they do? They went up, they invaded the Geshurites, the Gezerites, Amalekites. So they went to fight against all these people. Right, now, these are enemies of Israel. Right, these are enemies of Israel that they should have fought and killed some time ago, but they did not. So they went to fight again. Nothing of God's leading. Verse 9, David smote the land, did not leave man or woman alive, and did all those things. But was he doing it for God? And they seem to have victory. Does that mean that God blessed them? Of course not. Come down to verse 10. And Achish said, "Whither have you made a road today?" Right, where do you go today? You are bringing back all those things after they fought a battle. So Achish asked, "What do you do today?" And David said, "Against the south of Judah." So basically David lied. Right? You go down this path, you will end up sinning again and again and again, using one sin to cover another. And so David sinned in this way. He lied to Achish. The testimony is gone. Right? They attack all these other people, the Amalekites, Geshurites, Gezerites, that were the allies of the Philistines, Israel's enemies or so. But David lied and said, "Oh, I attacked Judah. I attacked my own people." Right? To bring loyalty. Right? To try to get up some loyalty with Achish. And David had to kill all those people to make sure nobody can tell Achish, right, about what he had done. In verse 12, did it work? Well, it worked. Should we say praise the Lord? No. And Achish believed David, saying, "He have made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore, he shall be my servant forever." What happened to David's testimony in this chapter? He became a servant of sin, following after himself, not after the Lord. Right, and that is what happens when we fall into despair and desperation. We compromise. Right, it will totally harm our testimony when we go against the Lord. How we do things and all that, it matters. People will observe and watch. And then will people think, how can a Christian do this? Or if a Christian does all these kind of things, it's exactly the same way that I would do it as an unbeliever. And then where is the testimony for Christ? And what David was telling Achish is this, that my God cannot protect me. Jehovah, where is the testimony of Jehovah? Israel was supposed to be a light to the world at that point of time, to be a witness to the world, but that testimony was gone. Right? David did not glorify the Lord in this situation at all. Right? And Jehovah's protection, deliverance, and care, and all those things, right, it was not testified of at all in this state. So, as we go through this chapter, as we look at some of these points, hope that all of us or so will be very aware, and all of us will really learn to walk close to the Lord. Right? Despair, desperation arises from our own sinful hearts, can haunt us. Right? At times when we are so afraid, full of fear and worry, times when we disregard God, right? When times when we are not mindful of the Lord, and we will just care for self, do what we want, we will just end up in compromise. Right, we'll just sin after sin after sin. We'll just keep on committing. It'll just be a downward spiral. Just have to pray very hard that the Lord will chastise and bring us back. But if not, where will we end up? No more testimony. Right? And so what is the only solution? The only solution, of course, is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in every situation. Whenever we feel in despair, no hope, no solution to this. It's too hard for me. Quickly turn to the Lord. Turn to Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Right? That's what we are saying just now. And the Lord will teach us how to follow His way. The Lord will guide us surely. The Lord who has given to us His scriptures, He will have a way. Though sometimes immediately we might not know, but patiently as we search the scriptures, as we pray, the Lord will show step by step. Right? It's not something to be rushed into, but we just follow the Lord faithfully, day by day, moment by moment, trusting in Him. And I pray and hope that all of us, as we go through life, as we face trials, despair, even times of desperation, let us quickly turn to the Lord, and let us quickly turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before Thee, we pray, O Lord, for Thy help in this time. And we just pray that we'll learn from this lesson concerning David, and how, O Lord, You have shown to us how easy it is for any of us to fall into sin. Grant to us hope in life each day as we turn to Thy word, and may You help us to be encouraged by Thy word, to follow in Thy way. Help us, O Lord, not to turn to man, to turn to self, or to turn to sin, but to turn to Thy way and to follow Your way faithfully. For Your will is the best, and Your way is perfect, and Your way will be glorifying unto Thee. It will please Thee, O Lord, and it will bring up the name of Christ and glorify Thy light. So help us and be with us, and grant to us Thy grace this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.